This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different issues around the Umpqua Valley and a variety of conversations. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle joining us this afternoon back in the district. Congresswoman, thanks for being on with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, a lot going on. I want to get maybe first of all, before we jump into our main topic today, kind of your overall reaction after kind of getting through the November election cycle, especially as it applies to Congress.
Well, I think I spoke to you right after the election. I was still exhausted because it was, you know, it was a lot, but we're working very, very hard. Next week will be our last votes, probably a continuing resolution, which I'm very disappointed by. I would think that over 2 years, we would have been able to manage to pass some budgets. But the good news is that in that continuing resolution, we've been checking in every day. The main components of the Fix Our Forest Act, so that would address issues and actually fund programs to help us address wildfire and make sure there's less to burn, and also a lands package. So those look like they've made it to the final negotiations, and I'm really, really hoping that when we go back Monday and Tuesday, we'll be able to vote for something that will really, really help us get ahead of wildfires next year.
What about the issue of siting a VA home in the, or rather an Oregon Veterans Home in the Roseburg VA campus and the federal funding piece there? Where do we stand with that?
That is something that I've been checking in on every single day, letting people know how very important it is. Cliff Bentz, who represents the other side of Douglas County, is also pushing very hard, and he's in Republican leadership. We won't know until we see what happens on Sunday. I think we'll get the text of the bill. But this is the kind of thing that we should be spending our taxpayer dollars on. These are veterans that served our country, that earned the benefits. It allows them to live out, you know, their lives in dignity with care they earned. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get that $69 million. And again, as Kyle said it so many times, we should be bringing Oregon taxpayer dollars that they pay to the federal government back here to Oregon to do the work that's important, like building that veterans home.
Now, our main topic today is talking about your recent joining of the what's called the Delivering Outstanding Government Efficiency Caucus. Tell us what that is all about.
So there's three things that are happening. There's, you know, in terms of delivering, you know, government efficiency or DOGE. So the first is an unofficial advisory panel to the executive branch. Now that's Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And that's not part of government or Congress, right? They're an advisory. They're advisory, and we don't know how much of what they suggest is going to happen, but they're there. The second is the new House Oversight Committee on Delivering on Government Efficiency, and that is chaired by Marjorie Taylor Greene. So that's a committee, and they're going to do their work. The third is the DOGE Caucus, and that's what I joined. And a caucus is a group of legislators with shared interest in any given issue. They can hold educational events and activities such as briefings, and we can advocate for legislation. But this is headed up by Representative Aaron Bean out of Florida. He's on transportation and infrastructure with me, and I find him to be a very straightforward person. And he said, look, we want people at the table because we need to find government efficiencies. And look, anyone that thinks that government we can't find efficiencies in government is delusional. However, I wanted to make sure that someone was in the room that was going to speak up to say, to remind people that President Donald Trump campaigned on saying he would not cut Social Security or Medicare, and that we protect our investments that serve our veterans, our seniors. I have more Social Security recipients in my district than 87% of the districts in this country, and I got elected to stand up and fight for the people in my district, Democrats and Republicans, to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars. And you can't do that if you're not in the room. So I'm going to go in the room because I think our voice should be heard, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Now, is this caucus group, is it exclusively Democrats?
Oh, no. There are only two Democrats that I know of that have joined, myself and Jared Moskowitz from Florida. And the rest are Republicans.
And so tell us how these caucuses are put together. Is this something where you're asked to be a part of it, or somebody wants to start something and then solicits people to join, or how does that work?
There's lots of different caucuses. Some of them are partisan. Some of them are nonpartisan. It really is people in Congress who have similar concerns about an issue, like, again, government efficiency, making sure taxpayer dollars are spent well. And, you know, they start the caucus. Aaron Bean decided to start this caucus. And then you can choose to join or not. I know that a number of my Democratic colleagues didn't want to join the caucus because they feel like many of the proposals coming out from Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy, specifically the gutting Social Security or privatizing Social Security or privatizing parts of government that are really critical to serving the American people, they think that joining it will give them credibility. Well, here's the deal. Republicans are in control, I mean, narrow control of the House, of the Senate, and of the presidency. So you can either, as a Democrat, sit on the sidelines and, you know, cry in your beer about things you don't like, or you can show up and be at the table and actually propose things to vote for. For instance, I did a speech last week on the floor about why I voted against the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, we're spending, another $10 billion on the Department of Defense that just failed their seventh audit. They can't pass an audit. And we have independent contractors that overcharge the government, that have no oversight. I can't justify sending them more money until we know where our money's going. That's something we should all be able to agree on. So I didn't get elected to just do things that are easy. I got elected to have the hard conversations. And so I'm going to be in that room, and I'm going to propose things that we can vote for as opposed to just saying no.
Do you feel like this is sort of going to be a group putting out maybe an alternative to what's going to come out of the administration of the Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy group?
Here's what I know. In terms of why I'm going to be there, and I've been in contact with groups that advocate for seniors and veterans and labor, I know the values that I have and the people I represent. That voice needs to be in the room. Aaron Bean, he's conservative. He's a Republican. We differ on many things, but he was a mayor. He understands that you have to have government that works. He's not one of the people that just walk in the room and blow things up. So I trust him to at least listen. And so what we're going to do is put proposals forward to have real, honest discussions and give ideas about where we can save money in government. But for me, I want to make sure we don't break the things that my constituents and Americans rely on.
Now, is this caucus from both chambers?
Well, I just know about the House side of the caucus, but I believe that There may be the Senate involved, but I'm not sure. I've only talked to the House members.
So is this...
We'll have our first meeting next week, so I'll be able to tell you after that.
So as this evolves, then one of the things that's going to come up a lot is Social Security and what to do there. What thoughts do you have?
Well, my first bill when I came into Congress was to preserve and expand the solvency of Social Security. And I will be presenting that bill again as soon as the 119th session starts. So Social Security is an earned benefit, and it is the first thing that we see people who, have a lot of money and don't have to rely on Social Security. It's the first thing they go for. They call it an entitlement. Well, an earned benefit is not an entitlement. And I want to make sure that we're protecting Social Security and we're bringing up things that where we can really, really save money, but not on the backs of working people, not on the backs of our seniors, and not on the backs of our veterans who've earned benefits and deserve our support.
One area that I know has come up in past years, Congressman DeFazio used to talk about this, is Medicare and negotiating drug pricing. What thoughts do you have there?
Well, that is one of the proposals that we are putting forward, which is making sure that Medicare can negotiate drug prices. It is insane that you can have, insurance companies that negotiate drug prices, but we as the American taxpayer, who are one of the largest purchasers, right, payers for prescription drugs, that we can't negotiate pricing. So, it's smart, proactive forest management to prevent wildfires, cutting red tape. There's subsidies that we really should be looking at. Are they getting us where we need to go? Protecting the direct file program in the IRS. That's been a pilot program where people can directly file their taxes. It streamlines the tax prep process. But we've got a lot of opposition from the companies who you pay to file your taxes. And so these are things where we can save money for the American people, have government be more efficient, but again, protect the things that really matter, like our veteran services, Social Security, and Medicare and Medicaid.
All right, more when we come back. Congresswoman Val Hoyle from the 4th District joining us this afternoon on Inside Douglas County. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. On Inside Douglas County, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Monday's program, we're going to talk to Sarah McGregor, Director of Feeding Umpqua, part of the United Community Action Network, as we look towards the holiday season. A few more interviews with organizations looking for help, especially this time of year, and with their work year-round. We'll also have the Roseburg Dream Center in on Tuesday. Congresswoman Val Hoyle with us this afternoon. She recently joined the Delivering Outstanding Government Efficiency Caucus and talking about the work that is expected to be ahead. Do you feel like maybe it's just after an election and all the emotion and everything from whatever side of the aisle people are on, that there is kind of a desire among people to give things kind of a second look, whether you're coming from the left or the right or the center, and try to create government that works better?
I wish. Well, that's my perspective. I think people are incredibly polarized right now. And unfortunately, we do have people who have been elected to office. Again, I've talked about this before. The massive gerrymandering that has created predominantly red, very red or very blue districts where you don't have to talk to someone from the other party, has created a place where you have elected officials who don't have to reach out to the other side, who don't have to listen to different perspectives. I think more districts should be like mine, where you can, three of the six Oregon districts, where you can't get elected by just Democrats or just Republicans, because it, I think it makes you govern better when you have to listen to people, multiple positions. But fundamentally, things are very charged right now. And I think when we go to DOGE, there is a real concern that you have two people, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, who, you know, have never had to struggle to pay their rent or pay for food for their family, making decisions and callously saying, I think Vivek Ramaswamy said, well, we'll just cut benefits for everybody with, you know, whose Social Security number starts with an even or odd number or whatever it was. Now, one, that's unconstitutional. Two, when Elon Musk says, well, some people are going to have to suffer, he doesn't mean people like him. So, again, that's why I joined the DOGE caucus. Now, I have gotten heat from some activist groups on the left who believe that joining the caucus will legitimize, you know, some of the things like the Social Security cuts that are being proposed. Well, I think that if you're not in the room and you're not speaking up about what we can vote for, then we don't have room to complain. And I think these purity tests and standing outside the room yelling, that turns people off. So that's what I'm going to try and do, is show up and work with the people who want to get things done. And hopefully that will translate.
As you got into Congress, what was your initial reaction? Were things more polarized, or was it about the way you expected from what you'd seen while you were campaigning the first time around?
I think I've said this here, I got to Congress and I was surprised at the lack of polarization. You have your firebrands and whatnot, but for the most part, and I think the Fix Our Forest Act and the lands package that's been coming through on the House, led by Republican Natural Resources Committee Chair Bruce Westerman and California Representative Scott Peters on the Fix Your Forest Act, and many of us on the lands package, this is exactly how government should work. It's something where we can all work together. I'm not sure if that spirit will carry through to the next Congress. One thing that Republicans are good at is when they're in charge, even if it's by a small margin, and this is an incredibly small margin in the House, they govern as if they have a mandate. They're not afraid to do that. So I'm not sure how things are going to work going forward. I know how I'm going to work going forward, which is to step up and make sure I fight for the people in this district. And this is what I explained to the progressive groups, there's one in particular that were absolutely outraged that I would show up in the room of the DOGE caucus to talk with my fellow representatives. I told them I got elected to do the hard things, to have the hard conversations, to have the hard fights. I didn't get elected to sit on my hands and cry in my beer. That's not the job of someone in Congress. So I think that I'm going to continue to work like I have, and I've been incredibly effective working with both Democrats and Republicans, and hopefully that will carry forward.
About a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. Congresswoman Val Hoyle, what are some of the things for maybe legislatively that you're working on or hoping to achieve in the next few months?
So I am working, again, the Fix Our Forest Act lands package. I'm hopeful we can vote on that. Hopefully that will come back over from the Senate. Making sure that, expanding and securing the longevity of Social Security benefits that have been earned by Americans, working on some forest management co-management policies and pilot programs to allow us to get more done on forest land and BLM land. And, you know, the Coos Bay port, of course, we're going to continue working on that. And I'm very proud that we have strong bipartisan support to move that forward, because those 8,000 jobs and investing in strengthening our supply chain, you know, is in a partisan issue. And I'm very, very grateful that it looks like we'll be moving forward with that.
Do you retain your same committee assignments?
I will. I think being on transportation infrastructure and natural resources is a good fit for this district, and I'm going to continue to serve on those committees.
All right, Congresswoman Val Hoyle, out of time for today, but we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being on.
All right, take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.